Thank you very much, and boy, what a blessing it is to have all three choirs together and singing on some. What a wonderful job. Thank you so much, and Jim, for leading us this morning. I'm going to change the scripture around just a little bit. I'm going to start at verse 11 in Luke 15 instead of reading all the lost stories before that, a couple of things before that. And before I go into the lesson today, I want you to bear with me just a few moments. I want you to know that as a congregation, many of you, we have talked together about change and what that means and what that's like. Many of you have written letters of support. And I want you to know that, you know, ultimately, God is the one that's moving and working in the life of the church and in my life and in your life. And I want to say to you that as the body of Christ, that we're at that time and moment now where we need to move forward and to show our love and our grace and our support to the new pastor that will be coming in a couple weeks. I've had some conversation with my district superintendent and with my bishop. They're just a little concerned. And I assured them that this congregation would move forward with their love and mission and presence and show the presence of Christ in the coming days. I said, this congregation has wonderful godly leaders who will help lead this congregation into the next time of ministry. So I would just ask you to, please not to, call the superintendent or inform the bishop. They know what's going on, believe you me, they know. And we've had some great conversation over it. Some of you have felt like that maybe I was slighted in some way. We got that straightened out, and there was some apology said, and so we need to move forward as a congregation. I just want to share that with you this morning, and I thank you from the bottom of my heart, my family does, for your encouragement and strength and for your standing with us during this time. But God is the one who moves. God is the one that brought us here. God will move us into that next part of what he wants us to do. And so please bear that in mind and be in prayer. That's what we can do now. That's what we can do. So let's read now Luke's Gospel, 15th chapter, beginning with the 11th verse. You are very familiar with this story. And as always, when we read this story on a day like Father's Day, it's always a challenge for the preacher to say, okay, how can we bring this around in another way so that folks don't say, oh, I've heard this before. And so before I ever start, some of you already start snoozing on me. So don't do that this morning. I know we've been here a little while, but that's part of the celebration. We'll have some great food afterwards. But hear the word of the Lord. Then Jesus said, there was a man who had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of the property that will belong to me. So he divided his property between them. A few days later, the younger son gathered all that he had and traveled to a distant country, and there he squandered his property in dissolute living. Maybe some of you know about this. Maybe you were at one time one of those children. When he had spent everything, a severe famine took place throughout the country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country who sent him to his fields to feed the pigs. Remember that commercial? Have you seen that commercial, Feed the Pig? Have you seen that on? Well, never mind. I'll just go. In that case, it's not too bad, because if you do what they say, you'll have pretty good savings down the road. He would gladly have filled himself with the pods that the pigs were eating, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired hands have bread enough and to spare, but here I am dying of hunger. I would get up and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me like one of your hired hands. So he set off and went to his father, but while he was still far off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. He ran and put his arms around him and kissed him. And then the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his slaves, quickly, bring out a robe, the best one, and put it on him, and put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. And get that fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to celebrate. Now his elder son was in the field, and when he came and approached the house, he heard music and dancing. He called one of the slaves and asked what was going on. He replied, your brother has come, and your father has killed the fatted calf, because he has got him back safe and sound. Then he became angry and refused to go in. Perhaps that was, maybe that's also been you. There's the one that has squandered, but there's also the one that has stayed behind and done everything that he was supposed to do. And so now there's some judgment going on between that one and the brother. His father came out and began to plead with him, but he answered his father, listen, for all these years I've been working like a slave for you, and I've never disobeyed your command. Yet you have never given me even a young goat so that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours comes back, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fatted calf for him. Then the father said to him, son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice, because this brother of yours was dead and has come to life. He was lost and has been found. Let us pray. God, again, we thank you for your holy word, for a word that reminds us and teaches us and calls us to be obedient servants. May that word now move in our lives today as we seek to follow you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Lost. What does it mean to be lost? Have you ever been lost? You know what it's like. I see some hands going. You know what it's like, you know, to be isolated from everything that you know and loved, and not have control of your own life, let alone what path to take, what road to go down. Now, you know, when I was in the Boy Scouts, we learned, you know, reading our scout, but one of the first things they teach you in there to get rank is what to do when you're lost. And if you're out camping, you're out in the field somewhere, and you get lost, one of the things they tell you when you're physically lost, they tell you, says, stay where you are. Don't wander too far from where you go. And then some of the other things that they tell you to do is, well, look for the moss growing on the north side of the trees. And then some of the other things they tell you, well, you need to mark your trail before you go so that you know where you went and how to get back out. And I remember those things, and they've gone through my head for many years. And when I read about people being lost, and I think about, and they send search parties out to look for them, and sometimes they find them pretty close to where they were supposed to be. Others have wandered away. And I said, why didn't you just stay where you were? They would have found you. But what do we do? Those are easy things. Those are things we can grab a hold of. But what do we do when we're spiritually lost? What do we do when a person is dead, as the scriptures say? They're dead in their sin. They are lost. When your soul and spirit is in that kind of a state, and you're in that kind of a mental challenge, as you want to say, how do you come out of it? What are the tools? You know, in the scouts, they give us, here are the tools for when you get lost. These tools will help you to keep from getting lost, or they will help you to be found. But what are the tools that we need when we are spiritually dead, or our brothers and sisters who live around us don't know who Jesus is and who God is? How do we search for them? That's what the church does. I think the church is a search party. You know, the church is a search party. We're supposed to go out and find the lost. You know, when people are lost in different places, different times across our country and the rural world, a lot of money and effort and time and talents and gifts are spent in trying to find them. And hopefully find them so that they are alive and that they are well. And so we come now to this parable of the prodigal son. And this parable is really about three characters. Sometimes we concentrate on the prodigal son. We don't think about the brother, and we don't think about the father. But this story is also about, on this Father's Day, this story is also about a compassionate father and an angry son and a destitute son, a prodigal son. You know, and there are many ways that we as the body of Christ and we as individuals can receive the lost and bring them back into the fold. So as we deal with this father, he has two sons. And I submit to you that they're both lost. That both of them are lost in different ways. I know what some of you are saying, some of you that work hard, you say, preacher, you lost me on that one. What do you mean? He stayed behind, he did what he was supposed to do. But I say to you, they were both lost. Well, we know about the one son, we know about the prodigal son. You know, he came to his father and he wanted his inheritance and he wanted to go out into the world on his own. As somebody told me one time about their son, their son came to him and the son said, I want to go out in the world and find myself. She said to him, go get me that paddle. I'll teach you how to find yourself. Basically, what he was saying is he wanted to cut ties from his parents. He wanted to be independent. John Wesley says that the root of all sin is independency from God. The root of all sin is independency from God. And that's what this parable is about. This prodigal was saying, look, I want to be on my own. I want to do what I want. Give me my inheritance now. And basically, in that day and time, what he is saying to his father is, I wish you were dead now so that I could get my inheritance. You don't think about that when we think about this parable, do we? So this goes a lot deeper than just a young man who wants to take his stuff and go his way. He is basically wishing for the premature death of his father. And leave home. Leave all that he knew and loved and cared about. To leave his support group. We talk about support groups sometimes and how we need those. This young man was willing to leave all of that. He thought that he could live out on his own. He didn't need God. He didn't need his father. He didn't need his brother. He didn't need his mom. He didn't need anybody. I think Wesley has something. When we begin to say we don't need God and others in our lives, we are indeed treading in deep water. And so this young man left everything that he had. And he went away to a foreign place, a place that sort of allured him and drawed him to that place. And he took his money. And we're told, you know the story. Why do we want to get away sometimes from the authority figures in our lives? Why do we want to do that? Because you know and I know we can get away with stuff there we couldn't get away with if we were at home, right? When our young people go off to college, all of a sudden they're independent. Well, they think they are, but they're not totally. Somebody's back there dishing out the money so they can be independent. But what happens? They get out on their own, and we say this, and all of a sudden, the rules that they knew at home, the values that they learned so many times, don't seem to apply to them. And they can get themselves in trouble. And they can get away with stuff that they wouldn't be able to at home. How many of us have taken things from our parents, they've given them to us free of charge, and taken it someplace and have wasted or misused what they have given to us? Maybe you find yourself in that boat for sure. Not all of us. But maybe some of us can resonate with this prodigal son, or maybe daughter, however you want to say it this morning. You can relate to what you're taking place. And we hear folks saying, all I've done for my son and daughter, and they go and they do this or they do that. And we marvel, because that's not the way we trained them, that's not the way we taught them. That's not how we influence their lives. And maybe many of us today have returned as prodigals. We once were prodigals, but we're not anymore. You know, all of a sudden when we get out into the world, all of a sudden the light goes on and we realize that mom and dad weren't as dumb as we thought they were. The prodigal then finds himself in a pig pen. Now, I don't know how many young people are here today. How many young people? Most of you, do you know what a pig pen is? You ever seen one? Maybe at the state fair or something similar. It's not pleasant. You know that, know that. So sometimes when I give illustrations, I think about, you know, probably some of our young people have never even been to a pig pen. Don't know what one is like. Well, let's just let me say it was bad. And this young person had spent all his money and found himself up to his neck in the muck of a pig pen. So hungry, the famine had come down, so hungry, so starving that he had a job feeding the pigs, but in such bad shape that he had to eat the food that the pigs were eating. Scraps. Scraps from the table, all because he wanted to cut ties with his father in his home. Because he thought he wanted to be so independent. He didn't like the rules, didn't like the values, didn't like the training that he had. Now, there are many of us here who are not prodigals, but we have been faithful all of our lives. We've been faithful to stay at home. We've been faithful to be in the church. That's all we know is church. We are those who have been like the older brother. We have done what we are supposed to do. And for us, those of us that find ourselves in that particular situation, for us, it is hard for us to show compassion and love to the prodigal. I'm talking about the church community. Brothers and sisters, sons and daughters who are trying to make their way back home. And sometimes we put up roadblocks for them. And we're like that older brother. He hasn't been with the pig pen. He has been with the sheep. He's been doing everything that he was supposed to do. He's been out in the field working. And isn't that like the faithful in the church so many times? And so when a brother or sister comes into the church, and maybe we know a little bit about their background and their history and what they have done to their family and all of those things. Kind of get off in our little corners in the church and in the kitchen or some other little room. And we begin to whisper to one another, see that person. They got this, they've had this lifestyle, they've had this and they've had that. And we have difficulty sometimes showing that compassion and love that the Father has shown in this story. What does the story say? The Father hadn't forgotten about that prodigal son. The Father loved him, cared about him, prayed for them, just like we do for our children that are lost. And what does the scripture say? That he every day he was looking out, waiting to see a familiar face coming down that road, getting ready to come home. Did the Father judge him? No. Did the Father go hide somewhere in the back of the house and said, I'm not going to be the first one to go up to him. I'm not going to be the first one to give in. He was wrong. He's got to come crawling to me. And, you know, we go through all of those things. Now, the scripture tells us that when the young man came to his senses, and I guess that's what being in the muck in a pig pen can do for you. It'll make you realize what you had before that you don't have now. And so the scripture says that he came to himself. Have you ever come to yourself? You were doing something and you wasn't right, it was wrong, or you've had change, and all of a sudden you have this revelation. It says he came to himself and realized he needed to do something about it. See, it's one thing to realize that we're in sin, that we're doing something wrong. That's one thing. But it's another to admit it. And we're told that the key to change is to realizing where you are and that you are in a state of sin or discomfort or muck, as the scripture says, and do something about it. And this young man realized that, and he said, it is time to do something about this. And he goes back to his roots. All that that father and mother and that home had instilled in this young man began to go through his mind and his heart and his soul and his spirit. And he knew how much his father loved him and cared about him. He knew about the compassion of his father. And so he made his way back home. And we're told that just as he believed, his father acted out what he thought. He came running up to him when he saw him. He had an apology already written to give to him. The father didn't even want to hear that. His love and grace was so abounding and so embracing. Let's have a party for that son that was lost has now been found. The elder brother did not like that whole scenario. And the elder brother was lost in his own way because he had not learned. He had not learned about what his father was trying to teach him and how to implement that love and compassion. So I submit to you that they were both lost. And that sometimes we can get stuck in our ways of believing and seeing things. And we can get stuck in thinking about how church should be and what church should be about, that we forget what God tells us what church should be. This compassionate Father is like our Heavenly Father. Because you see, all of us have been lost. And a lot of us in here, hopefully many of us in here, have made our way home. But there are a lot of people who are on the journey. They're trying to get back home. They're trying to get to that place where you are and where I am. And they need you and me. They need us to be those who welcome them and who love them and who care about them in spite of leaving what they have learned. And you know, brothers and sisters in Christ, I struggle with that as a pastor. Because I see young people who have been involved in the ministries of our church and come through all those different ministries and programs in our church, and then they get off, and I wonder, what happened? Where's the disconnect? Where did we fail as the church to teach them and guide them? And I can judge them. Jesus says, that's not my role. It's not your role. Jesus says, we're to love. We're to love. We don't need to hear the excuses. We don't need to hear their acts of confession. He does, but we don't. Our goal is to love. Now, I don't know what journey you're on this morning or what road you're on. But I do know this. There's a God waiting there to receive you and to bring you back into His presence and power and grace. And it's not enough for us to know that. It's not, but we have to, as the body of Christ, we have to be those who are God's hands and Jesus' hands, being that for others. Are you the elder son this morning? Are you the prodigal? Maybe you're the third character in the story, the father. The father who sees and knows and recognizes what God has done for him, and he's willing and able to transfer that to others. Or you're on your way home this morning. God will meet you there.
with His love. He will meet you there. If there's some sin in your life you need to deal with this morning, God will hear and He will forgive. Those of us who are already are like the older brother, is there some judgment in your heart, in my heart this morning that we need to disperse of? God will hear that too. Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you for the story of the prodigal son. We realize this morning that there are many ways in which we can be lost and need to be found. You have put the tools before us. We're to show compassion. We're to show love. We're to show grace. We're to pray. We're to seek. And we're to love. Hear our prayer now in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And Lord, wherever we find ourselves this morning, may we seek to be at home with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.